And if you are there, we are going to read, by the way, only verses 1 through 8. So if you are there, please stand, congregation, to hear God's word. This is indeed God's holy, inerrant, inspired word. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. I will keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. Thus far the reading of God's word. You may be seated. And then Lord's Day 48, question 123. What does the second petition mean? Answer, your kingdom come means rule us by your word and spirit in such a way that more and more we submit to you. Preserve me and increase your church. Destroy the devil's work. Destroy every force which revolts against you and every conspiracy against your holy word. Do all this until your kingdom fully comes, when you will be all in all. Now, dear congregation of the Lord, we find in the scriptures this very prevalent idea that we've been speaking about in Sunday school, is the idea of the kingdom of God. From the beginning of history, God establishes his kingdom on earth. And in this kingdom, he puts a regent, a representative that represents God's kingship. But as you know, this king succumbed to the temptation of the devil, and as a result of that, the kingdom of God was infiltrated by God's enemies. So from this point on, the world that we live in has seen this war between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God with the promise of the seed of the woman, and on the other hand, the kingdom of the serpent, with its own seed. And the whole history of the scriptures continually speak about this battle. However, as you know, when the fullness of time arrives, as Paul says, the Lord God sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his son, the true king. And as this king, Jesus Christ puts an end to this principle of war. The kingdom of God has begun and has begun to win this war at the same time. The king is seated on his throne, and he rules the world, and he advances his kingdom now. But this millennial kingdom that we are living in is still the beginning. There is still opposition to it. There is sin. The serpent is still crawling around and using individuals, powers, nations in order to oppose the kingdom of God. So we are still pretty much in the middle of the battle, even though the war is already in principle won. So tonight, the Heidelberg Catechism teaches us what does it mean that we pray, your kingdom come. And we are going to see that under the theme on God's or about God's kingdom. And we will see it in three parts: individual subjection, second, cosmic subjection, and third, perfect subjection. So individual, cosmic, and finally perfect subjection. So let's see the first part, individual subjection, excuse me. Now, as you know, the individual believer is constantly attacked by these very powerful enemies: sin, the world, and the devil. And these are our three enemies. And despite the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has rescued us, we belong to him, we have been saved by him, and we are in his hands forever, despite of that, we are still struggling against these three enemies. Our wills are inclined to evil. The world tries to seduce us. Excuse me. So we go in their way instead of the Lord's way. And the devil, the Bible reminds us, is still this lion who is seeking those whom he will devour. This is still very much a very intense battle that we live in the midst of. And because that is the case, and then the Lord Jesus Christ, our King, has not left us without weapons. He has not left us weaponless, without any defense. Rather, he encourages to pray and to ask God that his kingdom come. When you pray, he says, pray your kingdom come. Now, as you may have noticed already in the reading of the Heidelberg Catechism, our Reformed forefathers understood this phrase to refer mainly to three things. The first one being our personal individual renewal in Christ. That is, when we pray, your kingdom come, and I bet you didn't see this one coming, but when we pray, your kingdom come, the first thing that we are praying for is that our hearts, our wills, our minds be renewed after the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask that he renews our hearts so we can follow God's law. This is why we have read Psalm 119 tonight. Because it is true, Psalm 119 points us to Jesus Christ, who is the one who truly loves the law, who is the one who truly fulfills the law, and who is the one who is truly blameless. But in Jesus Christ, this Psalm 119 is also our prayer. It's also our petition. This is also something that we are to pray for. It teaches us the beauty of the law. It teaches us how, used by the Holy Spirit, this law of God, because we are in Jesus Christ, becomes a corrective, a guide, a rule to fix our crooked hearts who may go astray, a guide for good living. And this is, again, possible only because we are in Jesus Christ. And it is only because we are in Jesus Christ we can pray verse 5 and 6. Oh, that my ways be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed in your commandments. This is the only way we can pray that. An atheist, a pagan, will never pray that. And because we pray that, we can be certain that the Lord is going to use his law, his statutes, to make us more and more like Jesus Christ. The law, in that sense, becomes this corrective, a guide for our wills. And here is a reminder that we need to have in mind, maybe. Because we here are not speaking, brothers and sisters, about the law devoided and detached from Jesus Christ. We are not saying if you obey the law well enough and good enough, you will be saved. That's not what we are saying. What we are saying is that because you are already a son and daughter of Christ the King, of God in Jesus Christ, then you are enabled by the power of the Holy Spirit to follow this law in gratitude, to worship God through it. It is the Holy Spirit who uses the law to correct what is wrong in our hearts, to help us follow it, to walk after Jesus' footsteps. In this respect, God's kingdom come in our prayers means that that our hearts need to be corrected, our wills need to be restored, our desires need to be made right, our thoughts need to be informed by God's will, and we have this desire to follow it, to do it, to please God with our lives. So we do need to pray, please Christ, subdue me under your feet. Please change my will, change my mind, change my heart, so I learn to love what is good, namely you yourself. And we do that, and that I do that by following after you. In this respect, kingdom come means crush my selfish desires. Ensue good in my life, ensue the beautiful desires in my life that are matching your will, God. Please help me to do this, because only his desires are good. Only his precepts are good. Kingdom come, praying over your life means crush my sinful desires, make me more like you. Now, that's just the individual subjection. Let's move to the second point, cosmic subjection. Because sin, congregation, it's a very interesting thing. It infects the whole of who we are, and this is something that the kids are learning in that theology class, that sin is not just this moral thing that we commit, it also extends, expands, becomes visible in families, in nations, and even in the whole creation. Paul says creation groans because of it. And because the curse of sin goes very, very far, then the Bible also affirms that the grace of God reaches as far as the curse is found. The kingdom of God is also all-embracing. The kingdom of God is not just the church. It's way much more than that. And the kingdom of God reaches more than just individuals. The kingdom of God creates new societies, gathers different peoples under the banner of Christ. In the church, boys and girls, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter what language do we speak, what color our skin is, what politics we adhere to, what opinions do we hold to, or whether we like football or not. In the church, if we are in Jesus Christ, then we belong to the kingdom of God. We walk as citizens of a different nation. And in this earth, we are nothing but pilgrims. And Paul says as much in Galatians 4:26. He says, but the Jerusalem above, notice that, not the Jerusalem down here, but the Jerusalem above is free, and she's our mother. And Peter also implies this when he speaks of believers as elect exiles in the dispersion. And then he urges us as sojourners, as exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. So this is not a coincidence. We are in this world, John says, but we are not of this world. We are in this world. The church is an embassy of the kingdom of God on earth, a colony from heaven. But we don't belong to this world entirely. And as such, the church finds itself in the midst of territory that is of the enemy, hostile to the church. So do not think for a second, congregation, that just because we live in a nation who has been influenced deeply by Christianity, that means that our society, our political parties should be confused with the church or with Christianity. They are both not the same. The church is not to be equated with any nation or with any culture in this present evil age. In this respect, the kingdom of God is still coming and is still to come. And it is for that same reason that we need to keep praying that kingdom of God comes. Since the church finds itself in this territory of the enemy, since it's a colony in a hostile and many, many times inhospitable territory for Christians, the church is going to be attacked multiple times. Sometimes the attacks come from without in the form of persecutions, tribulations, dispersions, and so on. And at other times it comes from within, heresies, errors, false teachings, and so on. And it is because of this reason that we need to keep praying. Kingdom come has not been fully established yet. That will only happen in eternity. In the meantime, the church is under constant attack. But we are not to fear the attacks of the devil, are we? We are not to fear the attacks against the church. Because here, again, we draw comfort from the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to Peter when he affirms that on this rock, namely upon Peter's confession and Peter himself, he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. This doesn't mean, by the way, that the church will always be triumphant. That is not true, not even historically true, on this side of glory. This doesn't mean that we will always be conquering. This means, though, that despite troubles, tribulations, toil and pain, hard days and dark days, lean years, Christ will still sustain his church. It is not a promise of constant happiness. It is not a promise of a walk free of problems down here below. But it is a promise. It is a promise that despite those difficulties, despite the opposition, Christ will see his church through. Indeed, the dark days of the church are still crossing through us even as we speak. And the further we go into history, the darker they seem to get. Otherwise, Jesus would have never affirmed that when the Son of Man comes, will he actually find faith on earth? And again, this is why the church needs to continually pray that God's kingdom come. Only at the time when Jesus fully comes back, the kingdom will be established in this world. Only then we will sing endlessly in joy. Only then we will enjoy peace forever. In the meantime, as I already said, but this may be worth repeating again, this petition, your kingdom come, is a call to God to sustain his church. It's a call to God to ask to sustain us in the midst of tribulations. It is a call to God to stop the powers of Satan, who is more than happy to stop the work of the church. It is a call to God to continue growing and expanding his kingdom, so our the preaching of the word is received in our hearts, in the hearts of other people as well. It is a call to God to thwart the plans of the devil, who will like the kingdom of God to stall. It is also at the same time a call to God to embolden us to speak the gospel, to embolden us to share the good news of the kingdom of God. It is a request that God give us gospel opportunities so we can speak about Christ with those who don't know him. It has to be a constant prayer that has to be found on our lips. Every single time that we see difficulties at the church level, we are to pray, his kingdom come. Every single time that we see a brother or sister who are suffering through tribulations, through maladies of body and soul, we are to pray this prayer too. And every single time that we see that the gospel is facing opposition, being mocked or something similar, we are to pray this prayer as well. We are to pray in this way for our missionaries. Lord, be with them. Bring your kingdom through them. And we are to pray this petition for our own church as well. Please be with Pastor Christian. He's such a crazy guy, but use him, please. Bring your kingdom. Because from this perspective, kingdom come is this desperate, desperate cry and need from the church. We cannot make it. We cannot do it. There is nothing good in ourselves. So please help us. Please have mercy on us. Please reverse the curse. Save people. Bring your kingdom into the hearts of more people. Now, having said that, the third point speaks to us about perfect subjection. Because neither individual subjection nor cosmic subjection are going to be perfect on this side of glory. What we see in this side of glory is little glimpses here and there of God's perfect kingdom. Yes, we do enjoy very good things. We start walking in faith. We start behaving more like Christ. And then the next thing that we see is that we have failed miserably and have fallen upon our faces. That is always the case on this side of glory. And has always the case, even since the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus affirms that the kingdom of God is at hand. And then he proceeds to demonstrate that that kingdom indeed has been brought by him. He forgives sins, he heals the lame, he gives sight to the blind, he cures the mute, he awakens those who are dead. And all of this to demonstrate that the kingdom is finally come. If you want to picture it in some fashion, though, we can say that the kingdom of God from Jesus' time until this time and the end of the world is like an umbrella. And so this umbrella, as you open it, you realize it has thousands of holes on it. The umbrella is this present evil age. And the holes that the umbrella has are the openings through which rain, the light of the kingdom of God, is pouring in this present age. So we get glimpses of that coming age even now. But at the same time, this coming of the kingdom is not complete. The umbrella is still there. Some of it is still covered. We still get sick. The curse is still around. We still fall into sin. We still We still sin against authorities, sin against our parents, sin against our spouses. All of that is still present. But that is not too rare, isn't it? Even in Jesus' times, he didn't heal every single blind person. He didn't heal all the lame, all the sick, all who were mute. We are righteous in Christ, but we are still sinners. There is an outbreaking of the kingdom, but the consummation is not yet here. And this is why we are to pray to God's king for the God's kingdom to come. Not only so that he changes our hearts and actions, not only for the advancement and sustenance of his church, but also this request is a calling to God to put an end and definite end to evil. It is a petition that is basically saying, and let me read some Psalms for you. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? How long, O Lord, will you look on? Rescue me from destruction, my precious life from the lions. How long must your servant endure? When will you judge those who persecute me? Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. See, the coming of the kingdom of God will see the deposition from power of everyone who opposes Christ. The coming of the kingdom is the destruction, the annihilation of every single empire, every single nation, and every single government on this earth. Why? Because Jesus will set his throne on earth, and all nations, all peoples, all empires, all thrones, everything will come under him. This petition then means that things like wars, injustices, hopelessness, murders, evil, idolatry, sex trafficking, hatred, racism, and many other maladies come to an end. To pray that God's kingdom come is to pray that God punishes the devil, definitely, and all of his minions with him. That he punishes all of those who in this world seek to do evil, just like their father the devil does evil. To pray kingdom come is to pray that things like diseases, sicknesses, cancers, deformations, tumors, and many other similar things be a thing of the past. To pray this petition is to ask God that his kingdom come into this world in such a way that we don't have a memory of what a tumor is anymore, of what sin is anymore, of what evils are anymore, of what war is anymore. But perhaps more importantly, to pray this petition is to ask something from God that we cannot do in ourselves. Kingdom come doesn't come through our efforts. The end times will not come because the church gets engaged as justice warriors trying to ensue peace right here and right now, or because the church puts all of their hopes in political actions or similars. Kingdom come only comes by the action of God himself. True, he does use our efforts, and he does want his church working and active. He doesn't want his church to be lazy and idle, waiting, doing nothing while he comes. Jesus himself reminds us then that his coming needs to find us working. But that doesn't mean that because of our work in the kingdom of Jesus, or because we are working, then we need to find the special trigger point that if we make it, if we press the right buttons, then we will hit the target and Jesus will immediately come back. Rather, kingdom come is a petition that stems from our hearts that are recognizing we are not the king. We cannot change things in ourselves. We cannot even change ourselves. And that we simply extend our hands to God asking him, please, please come. Please put an end to evil, even the evil that resides in our hearts. Kingdom come has to be a constant petition of the church as well. This is why the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, closes with this petition. The Spirit and the bride, that is the church, say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who desires take the water of life without price. This is what kingdom come petition reflects in this final sense, congregation. That we recognize that things as we are, as they are right here and right now, they are not what they are supposed to be. That things on this earth will never be what they need to be without the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because that is the case, then we are to pray earnestly in subjection to the Lord, that God's people, that creation, the cosmos, indeed is finalized, perfected by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we want to see the day in which our wills will no longer be divided, the day in which suffering is no more, the day in which injustices are no more, evil is no more, the devil is no more. That is what we need to pray for, congregation. And although we do not know the day or the hour, and although we may go through suffering right now, we do have a promise. We do have a promise that we need to hold dear in our hearts. And this is his promise, that he will come and he will make things right. That is our comfort. He will come and he will put every single evil to an end. And then, joy forevermore with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your promise of a joyful eternity with you. We pray, Lord, indeed tonight, please come quickly so we may rejoice in you. In Jesus' name, amen.